Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome into today's edition of the PHNX D-back show. I am not Derek Montilla. I am Jesse Friedman. I'm your vice mayor. The mayor is off in Vegas at a bachelor party doing bachelor party things. But today I am joined by the one and only Danielle Cortez. And Danielle, we get to talk about this baseball game that did not go particularly well for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
It wasn't great.
In a number of different ways. We'll jump right into this, though. Brandon Pfaadt, of course, the story of the evening for the Diamondbacks. This was a start that, as of a few days ago, we didn't really expect Brandon Pfaadt to make. It sort of felt like things were lining up where the Diamondbacks would bring Zach Davies back into the starting rotation to start tonight, and Brandon Pfaadt would be removed from the rotation and sent down to Reno. As things have turned out, it still sort of feels like Brandon Pfaadt is going to be sent down to Reno when all is said and done. But the D-backs did give him a chance to start today. Danielle's final line, 3 2/3 innings, 8 hits, 5 runs, no walks, 4 strikeouts. He threw 87 pitches. Like I said, just 3 2/3 innings, so not able to get out of the fourth inning. And ultimately, the D-backs lose this game by a final score of 7-2. But yeah, Pfaadt's the story, and he was not particularly good today.
Yeah, was not particularly sharp. You look at his pitch chart on, you know, anywhere, Baseball Savant, whatever. A lot of sweepers up in the zone.
Yeah.
That's not a great way to make a living in the major leagues. And as crazy as it sounds, it could have been a lot worse watching the game. He left him up there, and the Red Sox swung through a lot of them. It could have been worse. Just no real command today. First inning, he was all right. He was pretty sharp. So maybe you're like, okay, maybe, you know, there's some holdover from the Pittsburgh game. But
sure.
Yeah, second inning. Second inning came in quick. It was ugly.
Second inning was not great for Brandon Pfaadt. Just kind of looking at the line again, he didn't walk anyone. So I guess that was a positive.
And only had one less swing and miss than
Chris Sale. There you go.
Moral victories.
Moral victories. Yeah. It sort of feels like right now with Brandon Pfaadt that he just has 2 pitches and he's not commanding them particularly well. I know he did throw a few changeups in this game. He is kind of trying to use that pitch as sort of a show me third option. I think he threw a couple of curveballs as well. But the reality is at the end of the day, Brandon Pfaadt is basically operating as a 2-pitch pitcher right now. I was having a conversation with some folks up in the press box. If you're a major league starting pitcher trying to make a living with 2 pitches, that's a pretty hard thing to do. There are not many guys who have success doing that. Kevin Gausman comes to mind over with the Toronto Blue Jays as being one of the only pitchers in baseball right now that I can think of who successfully operates that way. Someone brought up Randy Johnson as another example, which
he's also Randy Johnson.
Maybe that's not a great comp. I think the biggest thing for Pfaadt is what you said earlier, the fact that he's throwing this sweeper and it's a good pitch. It has a good movement. It's the one pitch out of his arsenal, frankly, that I think is really good, has some real potential to be a good out pitch in the majors. Welcome to the big leagues, kid, right? When you throw that pitch up in the strike zone, it's going to get hit. And that's absolutely what we saw today. The other thing with Pfaadt is the fastball. It just doesn't move very much. It doesn't have a whole lot of life to it. As Gabriel said in the comments, just too much hard contact. And a big part of that is he likes to use his fastball up in the zone. And some fastballs work up in the zone. Brandon Pfaadt's fastball so far has not really worked up in the zone. Even when it's 94, 95, it still just doesn't have a whole lot of life, and opposing hitters are making him pay for it.
Yeah, major league hitters are going to hit velocity no matter what. You see that even with the hardest throwers in the game, right? Overall, just Chapman had a stretch where he was giving up a lot of runs. Major league hitters just catch up to velocity. That's what they do.
Yeah.
That's why they're major league hitters.
And it's not like Fott is throwing like 98 miles an hour either.
Yeah, he's throwing 93, 94. You're not going to blow away major league hitters with that.
No.
So, you know, working up in the zone that works in the minors, you can do that. You can change eye levels in the minors. That's not going to fly in the majors. So,
yeah,
you know, send him down. Hopefully he works on some things. Command a third pitch. Shoot man a second pitch.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly.
Just an ugly game.
He's not really commanding either of those pitches. I think if Fott was commanding those two pitches well, I don't know if he'd be a great pitcher necessarily in the big leagues at this point. I don't really love the fastball shape quite enough to think that, but yeah, he'd probably be at least getting by and, you know, a serviceable back end starter maybe if he was able to command those two pitches. He has not done that well at all so far. But yes, as we've been talking about, Brandon Fott will very likely be sent down following this game. The D-backs have to make a roster move tomorrow because they are calling up Zach Davies to start on Saturday. So we've got a roster move around the corner, and it feels abundantly clear what that roster move is. Danielle, I feel like some D-backs fans might feel like they were fooled, like they were duped by all of the prospect evaluators who swore by Brandon Fott and the fact that he was going to be the next big thing in this D-backs rotation. And frankly, I mean, you know, we were having this conversation for a few months about how Brandon Fott really belonged at the top of the list of these young starters that the D-backs had. And in reality, with what we've seen, it feels like he has not been as good as Tommy Henry. He's not been as good as Ryan Nelson. Heck, he's not been as good as Dre Jameson, who is now down in Reno. So you kind of wonder, like, what did these prospect evaluators miss? Are scouts not what they used to be? You know, but these things do happen. Scouts do have, you know, they do miss on guys. That does happen. It's sort of part of the deal. And there's also the reality that I'm not sure that what we're seeing right now from Brandon Fott is what scouts were seeing last year. As we've talked about before on the show, I've heard that people thought that his fastball moved more when they saw him in AAA last year, which would certainly have made a big difference. But yeah, it's unfortunate. The D-backs do not have a great history with pitching prospects. There have been a number over the years that fans have gotten excited about, and then they've seen them in the big leagues, and it's looked something like this. And it sort of feels like Brandon Fott might be on his way to joining that group.
Yeah, it's really interesting you bring up scouting evaluations.
Yeah.
You know, you go to Arizona Fall League, whatever.
You've been to a few Arizona Fall League games over the years.
you see all these, you know, super highly rated prospects, and the eye test is like, what are they seeing in this guy, right? I've seen that a couple of times with quite a few players. And I don't want it. Take a step back. We're super early in this process, right?
This is literally a safe big league start.
Yeah, we're not here like this Brandon Fott's a bust. Like, no, like let's give him some time. But right now, you know, you're not seeing the stuff that you were told that he has, right?
Yeah.
This live fastball. You know, I always had a coach who would say, like, you get outs with movement. Like, anybody can hit velocity. You get outs with movement. And so this live fastball, you see it. He doesn't have the velocity. Where'd it go? So, you know, give him more time. I think this is definitely a case of overhyping a prospect and maybe placing expectations a little too high. It's just, you know, scouting is an imperfect science, right? You know, there are guys who slip through the cracks. That's just how it does. That's how it happens. So,
yeah.
You know, give it time. But right now, it's not looking too great.
Yeah, it's not looking too great, to say the least. Brandon Fott, we expect, will probably be sent down following tonight's game. As unfortunate as that is, you're absolutely right. It's still pretty early to be calling Brandon Fott a bust or really anything at this point.
Yeah, he's just a young pitcher, man. This is going to happen.
Yeah, five major league starts is really just not much of a sample size at all. And yeah, you know, if he stops throwing sweepers middle up, then he would do himself a lot of good, right? Like, these numbers could change in a hurry, even if we still have some questions about the arsenal in the long term. The changeup is a pitch in particular that I thought was a little bit better. It sort of seemed like, from what I've heard from people and seen from the footage in the minors, that it was a little bit better. That pitch just hasn't really been form in the big leagues. But yeah, the D-backs have done this up and down thing quite a bit lately with a number of players, right? Jake McCarthy was sent down and has more plate appearances in Reno this year than he does with the Diamondbacks. We're going to talk about that whole situation a little bit later in the show. It's not always a nice, smooth, linear process when these guys come up to the big league. Sometimes you have to go back down and figure things out, and the D-backs certainly have not been shy about doing that. Getting away from Brandon Pfaadt for a second, Chris Sale was not outstanding in this game. He did leave the door open a couple of times for the D-backs to break through.
Story of the last couple games.
Yeah, man, the hitting with runners in scoring position continues to be an issue. I believe the D-backs were 1-for-8, although that might have changed in the last couple ABs of the game. Not great, regardless. Just continues to be a struggle for this team. Sale's final line, 5 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts. His ERA coming into this game was a little deceiving. It was over 5. But in his last 4 starts entering this game, Sale was 3-0 and had allowed only 7 runs in 27 and a third innings with 3 walks and 32 strikeouts. So he has very much been on a roll lately. And honestly, this might be the worst start that he's had in quite a while. But once again, the D-backs offense just continues to struggle in some of those situations where they really should be coming through.
Yeah, just a real lack of situational hitting.
Yeah,
right now is really been the story of particularly last game against the Phillies, but today as well, just not moving runners over. Going, you know, they had this issue at the beginning of the season. You know, the Dodgers series, they're trying to hit 5-run home runs every time. It looks like,
right.
and not playing the type of baseball we're used to the D-backs playing. So, been an issue. Concerning, not, I wouldn't say it's concerning.
I mean, they hit like over 300 with runners in scoring position in April when it all said and done. You're not going to do that for a whole season.
Yeah, and this is just kind of what the D-backs are going to be this season. I think when you rely so heavily on young players,
yeah,
you're going to get these kind of games. You know, we were talking before we came on air, like the fun thing about baseball is sometimes you just lose a game.
The D-backs like haven't done that like at all lately, though, right?
Yeah.
Like you think of the D-backs last 11 or 12 games, right? Like that whole road trip and a few games preceding it, there was the 13-3 clunker in Pittsburgh, right? Where Zach Gallen just got shelled. That was a weird game. Outside of that, the Diamondbacks just like, we just have no feel for this sort of game happening where the D-backs are down early and they never really are able to catch up. And frankly, you know, even if the D-backs do come through in a couple more situations in this game, still probably not enough to overcome the 7 runs that the Boston Red Sox scored in this game.
Yeah.
So, situational hitting continues to be a bit of a concern. I know people are getting very impatient with Christian Walker in particular, who is not a young player, is experienced, and this has sort of been a thing for him to some degree in the past. So I know that's something that a lot of people are frustrated with. He's just kind of going through it in general at the plate right now. His batting average is down to 243. His OPS is down to 788. So that's something to continue to monitor. But I think Christian Walker will probably be fine when all is said and done.
And that's something he does over his career. Baseball, I think what a lot of fans don't understand is just so mental. And
Christian Walker
is...
He would know from last year what he went through last
year. Yeah, he is harder on himself than anybody. And so you can tell when he's just, you know, spiraling mentally.
Yeah.
And it just feels like he's in one of those funks, because
a lot of early pop-ups,
on hittable pitches.
Yeah, right.
Which Christian Walker's career says that's not going to hold up.
Yeah,
it's just not right. He's not a guy who's going to swing through fastballs.
Yeah,
it's just right now, like we said earlier, that's just baseball, man. Baseball is a weird game, and sometimes you can't really explain it with numbers or anything else. It's just sometimes you lose, sometimes you're in a funk, and that's just kind of how it is.
Danielle, you're being too reasonable. You're being entirely too reasonable.
Baseball is the dumbest game in the world, and I love it so much. It's so dumb, and I love it more than anything on this earth.
There is some truth to that. Yeah, I mean, Christian Walker's last few seasons, right? 2021 was kind of a clunker. He dealt with some injuries that year, but 2020 was a good year for him offensively. 2019 was a good year. And last year was a good year for him too. So I think you feel pretty confident Christian Walker is going to figure it out. Maybe he doesn't quite come through with as many hits with runners in scoring position as you'd hope for. But I don't think anyone's all that concerned there. What D-backs fans are concerned about, however, is Raimel Tapia, Danielle, because Raimel Tapia, Colorado Rockies legend, made his triumphant return to Chase Field today. And of course he went 2-for-5 with an RBI in this game. If you're one of those people who has felt that Raimel Tapia has personally attacked the Diamondbacks time after time over the years, you are not wrong. Raimel Tapia entered this game with a career batting average of .350, an on-base percentage of .388, a slugging percentage of .461 in his career against the Arizona Diamondbacks. And frankly, Raimel Tapia is not a particularly good player. He has not really had many productive seasons in this league, but when he is against the Diamondbacks, something clicks for him, Danielle. I'm not sure how he explained this.
This is just another example of baseball being the dumbest game in the world. Raimel Tapia! Yeah. It was funny, we were talking in the press box about this, and it was like, I said something like, if you told me he was batting like .800, I would say that's probably a little low.
Yeah. You can't actually recall to mind any outs. Like, have the Diamondbacks ever retired Raimel Tapia?
No.
Jesse, I really think we should have made him King Snake. He is the King Snake.
We probably should have.
He owns us.
Yeah, I mean, no Diamondbacks player really performed all that well today.
It's just ridiculous. .350. I have his. Listen, I've been up since 5 in the morning.
We've both been up entirely too long and worked too long today.
I have so many tabs open. I'm trying, guys.
We grind for you guys.
Hey, those pictures that you saw of the golf tournament. Hey, no.
Danielle was hard at work this morning at our golf tournament taking
photos.
That was
fun, man. I spent the morning with Craig Morgan. It was awesome. It was a great day.
She's worked entirely too long today.
206 at bats, 72 hits, 10 doubles, 2 triples. I feel like the triple number is low.
Yeah.
I think StatMuse is lying to me. Home runs. I just had a flashback to one of his triples that ruined Archie Bradley's time with the D-backs.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys remember this. I don't know if we're going down a trip down memory lane. It was a bases loaded, I think, either bottom eight, top.
I think I vaguely remember.
Top eight, top nine. Archie was rolling, and then all of a sudden, boom, triple, and he was never the same.
Danielle will never forget that. Sounds like she stays up at night thinking about that triple.
I'm pretty sure she does.
The amount of sleep I have lost over this team is ridiculous.
And Raimel Tapia in particular.
It is so painful. This is completely off topic, but there was a stretch last year where I was working two straight months where I didn't see a single D-backs win.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was funny for about a month, and then
was it 2021 where you went to every
single
game?
No, it was 2020. It was 2022 when they weren't playing bad in June and July. I just was at every single bad one.
Interesting. Okay.
The amount of sleep I have lost. See, there we go. We got one. We got somebody remembering it.
I'm with Gabriel. Yeah. I think we should sign him.
That's the only way to beat him.
Like,
yeah.
Why not? There was a stat for Juan Soto today. He's hit like 4 home runs and 5 and like 5 at bats at Yankee Stadium, and it's like, sign him. Why throw your money at him?
Yeah, I mean, Raimel Tapia would come relatively cheap at this point. It feels like it'd be a worthwhile investment for the D-backs. I don't know if he would sign that contract knowing that the Diamondbacks were just planning to, like,
literally
never play him.
Yeah,
and
literally
just
signing him not to face him again. There was Freddie Freeman, just throw money at Freddie Freeman. Never play him again.
It would take a lot more money to do that with Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, a little bit more.
But yeah, what's really striking is the volume. I believe Raimel Tapia has had more plate appearances against the D-backs in his career than he has any other team. So
I got a take on this comment.
Oh, what do we got? Mark's comment, is it a hot take to say I think Red Sox fans are worse than Dodger fans?
Yes,
all right, what do you think, Danielle?
Guess who isn't an MLB employee anymore who can say whatever I want about the Dodgers?
Go. There we go. No, Danielle is Dodgers, unplugged.
Listen. Okay. Whew, got to settle down.
There is only one team in Major League Baseball that I have to have a security escort for.
Oh, it's the Dodgers.
And that is right. The Los Angeles Dodgers.
Right.
I am fighting myself not to say the things I would like to say, but I do not have anything good to say about the Dodgers. Their organization, the players, their front office,
we're just throwing the whole
fans.
Thing under
yeah,
the bus.
No, listen.
My gosh.
Okay, yeah, we'll talk about it.
The guy who takes your money in the parking lot outside of the stadium. The popcorn guy.
I have had nothing but bad experiences with the Los. I'm shaking right now. I am so fired up about this. Woke me up, baby.
To be fair, you spend a fair amount of time at Dodger Stadium. I'm going to guess you haven't spent quite as much time as Fenway Park. Like, maybe you have a little more experience with the Dodgers organization.
I will say I have never been to Fenway Park.
Right, so this isn't
but
quite
I also
an
know I
comparison.
Don't have to have a security escort because their fans are incredibly aggressive and transphobic. There's only one team in the majors that in my home ballpark that I have that I have to have a security escort. I'm shaking. Dodgers get me fired up. Yeah.
They get a lot of Diamondbacks fans fired up. Somehow we're here talking about the Dodgers when the Diamondbacks definitely played the Red Sox tonight. There were a decent number of Red Sox fans at Chase Field. As suspected, the Red Sox haven't been here since 2019, I believe. So, been a few years since the Red Sox have been in town. Announced attendance tonight was about 25,000.
Which I thought was low. It felt like more.
Yeah, it was pretty decently packed full. I don't know, maybe 50-50 D-backs and Red Sox fans, Danielle. What would you put
it was,
the
we talked about,
at?
It was tough to tell because they kind of blend in.
They do kind of blend in. That's fair. Red Sox fans were considerably louder.
Personally, I thought there were more D-backs fans.
Okay.
But the Red Sox fans were loud.
Yeah, the Red Sox fans were definitely loud. We had
they had a lot to be loud about. It's not like the D-backs had anything. It, like the one time, you know, Gurriel's triple got the crowd going. D-backs are pretty loud. That's kind of when I realized it was a majority D-backs crowd. But
yeah, that's fair. We do have a King Snake to name, even though you could make the case that no one on the D-backs really deserves it after this game. But Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is our King Snake, mostly because he continued his hitting streak, which is now at 17 games. It is the longest active hitting streak in all of baseball right now. 1-for-4 with a triple that you just talked about, an RBI. Of course, Lourdes Gurriel had that triple with nobody out in the inning. He was at third base with nobody out. The Diamondbacks were unable to bring him home, as we discussed earlier. That just sort of continues a recent trend. But Lourdes Gurriel does continue to be on an utter tear, is still very much in. I haven't looked at the numbers in a couple days, but I want to say he's maybe the front runner for the National League Player of the Month award. He and Ronald Acuna Jr. are probably very close in that. I'll have to take another look. But he has had an outstanding, outstanding month of May and continues to be a huge part of this Diamondbacks team. Non-coincidentally, ever since Derek dyed his hair purple, we all know that is what unlocked this whole thing. But Danielle, any thoughts on what you've seen from Lourdes Gurriel this season?
Man, when you're hot, you're hot. He is on a tear, and he's just fun to watch. When you go up, he's one of those guys that he goes up and you expect him to get a hit. You expect him to barrel up a ball, and it's fun. It's fun when you're on one of those tears. So he's fun to watch, man.
Yeah.
He's definitely, you know, D-backs have a team MVP. It's him so far for sure.
Corbin Carroll is maybe up there in the mix.
Oh man. I don't know, man.
Overall, Lourdes Gurriel has better offensive numbers, but Corbin Carroll steals bases and, you know, does other things.
Yeah, he's just such a fun player, man. I love him. He's watching his brother play. Why, you know, from a distance, he's like, oh man, Yuli's always barreling a ball. You expect him to just hit it 400 feet every time.
Not quite the player
he
used to be at this point.
But, you know, you're kind of getting that same vibe with Lourdes right now.
Lourdes always has had, I mean, he's kind of a bigger guy. I mean, he's like 6'4".
He is
Lourdes
not a small man.
Lourdes is, yeah, he is a very large man. And last season, he wasn't really able to tap into much power. This season, he's really, really turned that around.
And I agree with Elise's comment there. There's definite lack of energy today.
Yeah, it really was.
And I don't know if that's, you know, long road trip, off day, is kind of hard to get back into it, or if, like,
I mean, just the nature of the game. Yeah. Like, it was 3-0 in the second inning. Chris Sale was dialed in.
You're missing your energy guys, other than, you know, Jake McCarthy's back. He's an energy guy, but you're missing.
I am not gonna do that, Gabe.
We're doing this is Jesse's part of the hair. Yes.
So Derek,
Derek dyes his
hair purple. Now I have to shave my
head. I have to do something for June?
Yes, I think you're next, Daniel. Absolutely. Anyway, speaking of your next, you all need to download the BetMGM sportsbook app. We have teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. You also have probably heard about our Knockout Nights Cornhole League, which is the first Friday of every month from May through August. So that would be coming up, I believe, next Friday, a week from today. There's food and beverage specials, giveaways, BetMGM prizes. We also have shows broadcast live on site before. So be sure to join us next Friday if you're around, if you're available. And if you're good at cornhole, which I personally am not. Danielle, I have a feeling you're exceptional at cornhole. Is that a fair assessment?
I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm more of a ping pong person, but
okay. All right. Yeah, I've seen that. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code PHNX. There's a few different offers depending on where you live. But for our Arizona audience, you will get up to $100 in bonus bets on your first wager with BetMGM. Again, make sure you use bonus code PHNX. Check out the show notes for details. And now listen to Shane talk about the disclaimer.
Disclaimer, 21 plus to wager. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. U.S. promotional offers not available in Washington, D.C., Mississippi, Nevada, New York, and Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Colorado, D.C., Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Maryland, Mississippi, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369, New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Arizona, 1-800-522-4700, Kansas, Nevada, 1-800-327-5050, Massachusetts, 1-800-BETS-OFF, Iowa, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help, Michigan.
So one person tells me I need to shave my head to unlock Christian Walker, and then Mark says I need to grow out my hair in order to unlock Jake McCarthy. I don't know.
Who do you think is more important? Who do you like better?
Oh, man. Now we're going there. Before we go on, I do need to tell you all about Pins and Aces, which we had our Keeping It 100 Golf Classic this morning, which was a raging success. Danielle was out there and took entirely too many photos, which we appreciate, Danielle, for doing that. But Pins and Aces is the official golf apparel partner of PHNX and All City. Also, be sure to check out the Big Drive Energy wherever you get your podcasts. They have a pretty cool thing going on over there. We love all of our Pins and Aces gear. We all have a number of things around the office. People got our incredible Phoenix shirt today out at the golf course, which was absolutely incredible. We're all a little bit skeptical of Phoenix, who's like our little mascot thing, but he does look really good on a shirt, and Pins and Aces helped us pull that off extraordinarily well. Check out pinsandaces.com and use code PHNX to receive 15% off your first order and get free shipping. That's pinsandaces.com. Be sure to check them out. And I'm told we're having another Keep It 100 Golf Classic in a matter of maybe a few months. So keep an eye out on that. It was a very fun time. I was able to be out there. I am not a golfer. I didn't understand any of the lingo that anyone was talking about the entire day. But I still had a great time out there hanging out with you all. Speaking of not having a great time, we now go to not having a great time as the Arizona Diamondbacks are not in a number of ways. That's a really sad transition. I really knocked that one out of the park. The D-backs continue to struggle with runners in scoring position. I said earlier they were 1-for-8. They were actually 1-for-9 in the game today.
Not gonna win too many games like that.
Yeah, we've talked about it before. It's unfortunate how much how much game outcomes are ultimately determined by whether you come through with runners in scoring position or not. I mean, a lot of times that's just sort of the nature of baseball. Games just sort of come down to that. The D-backs continue to struggle in those situations today. I do want to talk about a decision that the Diamondbacks made yesterday, which was honestly very controversial, about the angriest that I've seen Diamondbacks fans all season long, frankly. The D-backs sent down Dominic Fletcher, a player who, as of the time of being sent down, had a batting average over 300, had an OPS over 800, and the Diamondbacks opted to bring up Jake McCarthy. I don't think people were at all angry about bringing up Jake McCarthy. They all want to see him back in the big leagues, but there was sort of this odd feeling with sending down Dominic Fletcher, a guy who had a historic start to his big league career with the Diamondbacks, but has faded a little bit over the last couple of weeks. We do have some numbers for you that I think sort of help explain where the D-backs are maybe coming from. In his last four games down in AAA Reno, Jake McCarthy went 12 for 19 with a couple of home runs. That's one way to earn yourself a promotion.
Is that good?
12 hits over four games. Obviously, the PCL is a hitter-friendly environment, but Jake has had a really nice approach down there, about his, I think it's an equal number of walks and strikeouts. On the flip side, Dominic Fletcher, Danielle, in his last 10 games with the D-backs, went 6 for 39 with 11 strikeouts, only two extra base hits. So you can just kind of see how things sort of turned in Jake McCarthy's favor there. We didn't necessarily know if Dominic Fletcher's fast start would be sustainable, if it was just going to be, you know, a really fun few days and maybe, you know, pitchers would adapt to him a little bit. And that's kind of what it seems like happened when it was all said and done.
Yeah. And I think this is definitely one that the numbers don't tell the full story. You look at Dom Fletcher's numbers, and they're pretty crazy, but it's pretty front-loaded, right? His first couple
extremely
games
front-loaded.
were historic, like you said.
Yeah.
And this to me feels like an eye test thing, where you look at his last, you know, 5, 6, 7 games, and he really looked overmatched.
Yeah, he did. And he had to face some tough lefties in there.
Yeah, and I mean, you're really just throwing them in there against some really good pitchers, but at the same time, like,
yeah,
you're in the big leagues, they're all good pitchers, right? Like, he looked overmatched, and like you said, there was a sense that pitchers were adapting to him.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Torey Lovello today talked a little bit about how Dominic Fletcher wasn't. He wasn't doing damage on the pitches in the zone. It wasn't as much pitch selection as it was just trying to, you know, hit that pitch that you're looking for. And we do have a clip of Torey Lovello talking about what he called a very difficult decision to send down Dominic Fletcher and bring up Jake McCarthy.
Yeah, we had talked to Jake when he got sent out about making some quality adjustments, getting back to a little bit of finish swing and impact the baseball. And his game was starting to show those results. You know, it's not that we need to be true to our word and say when you do and if you do, this will happen. That wasn't really the circumstance. This is more about you know, getting Jake back to where we feel like he's going to help us win baseball games. Not that Fletch couldn't. This was a tough call. You know, it was a conversation that we had. Like, let's get him here and see where it's at. And we know that he can impact games when he's playing at the level that we feel like he's ready to play at. He hit third for us for most of the year last year, so we know he can impact baseball games on both sides of the ball. And ultimately, it means that we're a good baseball team. We got to send down a player like Dominic Fletcher. We're a good organization, I'm sorry. When you send down a player like Dominic Fletcher, who's helped us win a lot of games, I know where his average is hovering. I know what he's been doing on the field. Means that we've got some depth that we want to take a look at, and we can change these parts up, and it's part of the game.
We have some depth. That's an understatement, right? When it comes to left-handed hitting outfielders, the Diamondbacks have entirely too much depth.
There
frankly.
Are a few of them.
There's a few. But yeah, I can understand where the D-backs are coming from. Elise asked an interesting question: why send down Dominic Fletcher instead of Pavin Smith? We have Emmanuel Rivera as backup first baseman. That's fair. The D-backs don't need Pavin for that. Understandable. Definitely see where you're coming from. Dominic Fletcher definitely provides more defensive value than Pavin Smith does. You're not going to put Pavin Smith in center field unless it's like an emergency situation. So
unless it's 2021, baby.
Yeah. Oh yeah, everyone was a center fielder in 2021.
You guys have a lot more connections to the team, so I know you can't say this, so I'll just go out and say it. Pavin Smith has something on Torey Lovullo.
Oh my gosh.
There's something that he has on him. I don't know what it is. I haven't put my finger on it yet, but there's something there.
The Diamondbacks definitely like Pavin Smith. I think Mike Hazen likes Pavin Smith. He talked during the winter meetings about just that he thinks he can really hit. D-backs think there's some untapped potential there offensively. And you do sort of see it in spurts. Like Pavin Smith does have pretty good at bats most of the time. He has a really good understanding of the strike zone. When push comes to shove, it just seems like he doesn't do quite enough damage to the baseball. Even if he's not striking out a ton, even if he's drawing his walks, it's hard to have a guy who's only a first baseman slash corner outfielder who only slugs like 375 or 400. You just don't really have many of those players in this league. But yeah, the D-backs certainly think that they have something there. And I mean, we have another outfielder on the horizon as well in Kyle Lewis, who is working his way back from injury. The D-backs might have to make a decision with Pavin Smith pretty soon here as well, if he's not able to get things going offensively. Torey also talked about the concept of kind of riding the hot hand when it comes to these young outfielders, that, you know, if someone is killing it down in Reno, get them up here. And if someone is really struggling in the big league, send them down. They all have options. The D-backs have the ability to do that if they want to. But there is this element where that it feels a little strange, right? That's not something you see teams do a whole lot of. You want to get guys at bats. You want to get them comfortable on the big league level. Maybe you could make a case it's a little hard to do that if guys are being shuttled back and forth from Reno all the time.
Dang, beat me to it. I was about to say that. Is Pavin Smith the D-backs answer to Landry Shamet?
Oh my gosh. Pavin Smith has been better in 2023 than Landry Shamet was in the playoffs for the Suns or in the entire season. Like Landry Shamet was one of the worst players in all of the NBA as far as I'm concerned. Pavin Smith, not great, but he's walked a decent amount. I think he's at least been reasonably productive. But there is a, I do understand the connection. I mean, it's felt like the Suns were playing Landry Shamet for no reason, and I know some people kind of feel that way about Pavin Smith, right?
Yeah, and this again, and I don't want to keep repeating myself, but I feel like this is another eye test thing, not for me, but for the front office and the coaching staff, right?
Sure.
You look at Pavin Smith, and you see the guy that you drafted in the first round, right? Seventh overall.
Yeah.
You see the potential there, and you just kind of throw him out there and hope something happens. At some point, you just gotta understand that ain't happening.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, he's a former first round pick, but it was like 5 years ago now, and the Diamondbacks clearly have not let go that Pavin Smith is not going to be the player that they want him to be. And frankly, the draft that Pavin Smith was part of, I believe 2018, was not a very strong draft. So it wasn't like, oh, there's these 15 other players. 2017, thank you. That Pavin Smith should have, or that the D-backs should have taken instead of him. It was a, you know, you could definitely cherry pick a couple of them.
Yeah, it's not AJ Pollock and
yeah, we looked it up and there was like legit like four players that might have been better than Pavin Smith in the first two rounds.
Trevor Rogers is in there. I believe that's also the year the D-backs took Dalton Varsho. He's one of the
Hunter
best
Green,
players.
Mackenzie Gore.
Yeah, Hunter Green. Hunter Green had an outstanding game, by the way, today.
Joe Adell. I mean, Joe Adell, he feels like a quadruple A-er to me. But
yeah, Joe Adell is
yeah, pretty weak draft, huh?
It really was. So,
Stuart Fairchild, former D-back great.
Former D-back great. There you go. So I don't know. I wasn't necessarily a terrible draft pick, but it does feel like the D-backs have other options that are better. And Pavin Smith did have a really strong start to the year, so you understand why they've kept him in the big leagues for a while, even though some of those numbers have faded down the stretch. Of course, there's also another outfielder in Reno who's really killing it right now, who also happens to bat left-handed, and that's Dominic Canzone, who now has an OPS over 1,000, and his strikeout rate and walk rate are both excellent. He's hit quite a few ground balls down there, which is a little odd, but overall the numbers look really good for Canzone. As far as Jake McCarthy is concerned, we talked to him in the clubhouse before the game today. Looking back on just kind of where he's been this season and what he was trying to work on, he talked a lot about just trying to kind of slow things down at the plate, that he was getting a little bit antsy early in the season, that he just didn't really have the approach that he was hoping to have, just kind of trying to get in there and wait for his pitch and do damage on that pitch rather than having a bunch of defensive swings, which is kind of what it felt like he was doing at the beginning of the season. McCarthy did not have a hit in his first game in the lineup, but granted, Danielle, Chris Sale is not exactly a soft landing if you're a left-handed
hitter. Yeah. Get called up that day. Hey, one of the best lefties of a generation. Go get him, kid.
Yeah, that's rough.
Tough at bat. And you know, you said it. He looked to be in his own head, for sure. There was a lot of. I don't want to say pressure, but you know, it kind of was a little bit of pressure, especially after the D-backs dealt David Peralta.
Yeah.
That this was the new guy. He was going to be the new energy guy. He's the new next David Peralta. And it looked like he kind of got in his own head earlier this season. He was definitely rushing at the plate, rushing in the field. Rushing today, he had a throw that maybe cost the D-backs an early run, but yeah. You know, and the grand scheme of things, it wouldn't have mattered, right?
No.
So getting him comfortable, I think, is the biggest thing, because at the end of the day, you want Jake McCarthy on your team. Jake McCarthy is a guy who's going to win you baseball games. He did earlier in the season with his drag bunt.
Yeah, that's true.
He does the little things that win good baseball teams games. So, you know, getting him right was always the end goal. So,
yeah,
who they sent down was kind of... I don't want to say it's irrelevant, but it kind of is, because you know, at some point Kyle Lewis is going to get called back up. He's going to be back up. So, you know, you're going to lose Dom Fletcher, you're going to lose Pavin Smith. It's just kind of in what order do you lose them?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, and I forgot who it was. I can't find it, but Dalton Varsho, 214.
Oh yeah, someone wanted seven to know 214, 653 OPS.
Not great.
There's your daily Dalton Varsho update.
Everyone
always needs that. If Pavin gets sent down, I do think that Emmanuel Rivera would probably be the backup first baseman they could get by there. It is tough. The D-backs just have too many left-handed hitting outfielders, as we've been saying for a while. And come the trade deadline, that could be, you know, an asset for them. It's honestly funny. The D-backs traded away a
starter.
Yeah. We're gonna have those conversations. You traded away Dalton Varsho, but you did also bring back an outfielder. I mean, Lourdes Gurriel's been an everyday outfielder for the D-backs. So you didn't
outfielder.
Yeah, a right-handed hitting outfielder, which is helpful, but still an outfielder.
Forgot those existed.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it didn't exactly help unclog the depth chart as far as outfielders are concerned, though. We did also talk to Jake McCarthy about his chess game, which we haven't talked about enough on this show. Almost every time that we go into the clubhouse before a night game, there are D-backs players playing very heavily competitive chess matches in the clubhouse every day, which is hilarious. They're incredibly competitive. And Jake McCarthy took his chess game down to Reno. He did take his chess game with him. And he says he was getting all of the Reno people in on it. They were all playing chess before their games down there. And Jake McCarthy said he is convinced that he got worse at chess since being sent down to Reno. He said I don't think he taught Dominic Canzone how to play. I assume Dominic Canzone already knew how to play, but I don't think Canzone had played much, and apparently Canzone was just like flat out beating Jake McCarthy over and over and over again.
Jesse, you strike me as a big chess guy.
I'm not. Absolutely not. Yeah, people are like, oh, you're a math guy. Like, you'd be
Danielle, don't you think Jesse could be like in child like chess competitions that his parents like signed him up
playing
for?
Playing like five games.
He's like beating adults.
You got the wrong person. I had friends like that growing up, but I was not one of them.
I'm actually pretty good at chess.
That doesn't surprise me. You're just competitive and good at basically everything.
I have so many worthless talents. Just absolutely worthless.
In the Diamondbacks clubhouse, being good at chess is far from a worthless talent, Danielle. It is almost as important as your baseball skill.
Who's impressed by juggling? Like, who's impressed by playing the ukulele? Like,
I'm incredibly impressed by all those things.
So many useless
ukulele is so cool.
Ukulele is pretty.
I got my banjo ukulele. It's awesome.
Oh my gosh! Wow. We're gonna have to.
I'm just saying,
PHNX banjo
ukulele. Karaoke night.
Oh my gosh! Wow, we're definitely gonna make that a thing, and I am not going to participate, but I'm going to observe. And
are you
a
Connect Four guy? Mark wants to know.
I'm not a Connect Four guy. No, a lot of people, they like to stereotype me. They like to think that they know like the kind of things that I would do and not do. And I pride myself in not fitting into all
Who
of the little
it?
Boxes that people establish for me.
Was it Shane that called you tendies?
No, that was Totri.
Okay.
Yeah, that was Totri.
What's
yeah.
a good yeah. Jesse board game?
There are, I will admit, I have a couple of board game quirks. There are a couple of board games.
Are you a Settlers of Catan guy?
I am.
Okay.
I am 150%.
I knew there was one there.
Fully obsessed with Settlers of Catan and play it entirely too much. And played it entirely too much in college in particular. I've sort of backed off a little bit in the last few years.
I knew there was something here.
There had to be something.
Jesse's into one board game like massive.
The other one, I'll just throw it out there while we're on the topic. The other one was Scrap. Okay. I was a big Scrabble guy.
See, you're a writer though, so that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess it sort of fits. But I wasn't like I didn't play Scrabble in like the tasteful like this guy has a big vocabulary way. I did it in the like I mastered
in
all of the two letter words.
In a tasteful, were you like doing swears and vulgarities?
No, that's not what I was trying to communicate. What I'm trying to say is like. I wasn't the guy who would play like that six letter word that you didn't know. I would find a way to play like four words at once because I would have like three two letter words involved in like every single thing I did. So I very much like hacked the game and people really hated me for it. nobody ever wanted to play me in Scrabble because I was good, but in like the flukiest way possible.
I'm extremely dyslexic. So Scrabble was not my game.
That would be the one game I could beat you in, Danielle. The one game I could beat you in. But anyway, speaking of games, if you're interested in checking out the Diamondbacks Red Sox series
this
weekend,
D-backs podcast, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, that is what we're here for. check out our friends over at Game Time. You can get $20 off your first purchase with code PHNX. Of course, Game Time, for those of you who don't know, is the most aesthetically pleasing ticketing app. We know there's a few of them out there.
Not even close.
But yeah, it is on point. They have like a little picture there where you can see the view from the seat that you have. It's really, really a great setup. And of course, the catchphrase with Game Time is to procrastinate. The longer you wait, the better. Except don't wait like 2 minutes before the game starts. Like maybe do it before then. But buy your tickets the day of with Game Time and do it without the stress. There's something just freeing about spontaneously deciding to attend a baseball game. That's how I would always do it growing up. So download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PHNX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PHNX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Speaking of this D-backs Red Sox series, if you don't feel like coming out and sitting in possibly a sea of Red Sox fans, you can also watch it from the comfort of your own home. Not
our own. Come on down.
Yeah, come to the office. Everyone is
I'll
welcome.
Cook for you.
Yeah, maybe do it at your home. Maybe we'll do that at some point. I mean, we kind of do that with watch-alongs, right? Yeah. We do a watch-along. It's sort of like we're inviting you into our home. But you should go ahead and sign up through www.fubotv.com/phnx. You get 140 plus live channels of sports, shows, movies, and news. You can stream live TV from any device. You can watch the most Arizona sports for the lowest price. Of course, you can watch the Arizona Diamondbacks with Fubo TV. Use the link in the description to sign up for 15% off your first month of Fubo Pro. All right, we got a few more things to get to here, Danielle. We're going to rein it back in. We're going to become a D-backs podcast again.
Gavin, we have
and
to.
Well, a D-backs slash dental podcast, actually, because we are going to talk about Gabby Moreno not being in the lineup today because he had a root canal, which sounds like a miserable procedure, something that fortunately I have never had to deal with personally. But Danielle did a little Google search earlier in the evening.
Yeah, you made the most squeamish one among us, dude.
Yeah, yeah. So what did you find out, Danielle? I didn't know. I probably should have known this, but yeah, I didn't really know what a root canal is.
A root canal is an infection of the inner tooth, and I closed the tab, and I'm gonna have to open it up again. I'm just
okay. Yeah,
we need the
nitty gritty.
Here we
details.
Go. From the into. I'm not even gonna. I've been up so long. I'm not going to try and say that word. A root canal treatment is a dental procedure to remove inflamed or infected pulp on the inside of the tooth.
Huh.
Not a whole lot of fun. I know my mom has had one.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Brush your teeth, kids.
That's about
brush
all I know about it. Yeah. It does not sound fun at all.
And it sounds preventable if you have good dental hygiene. Yeah.
Brush your teeth.
Apparently, Gabby Moreno's dental hygiene needs a little bit of a boost. So. Yeah, Gabby Moreno was not
and
in the lineup
today.
He had
it bad. He was getting his tooth drilled into earlier today and gotten it bad. And so, yeah. You know, that's a gamer.
I guess the local anesthetic wore off, fortunately. He was still able to get out there. But yeah, I did think it was a little odd when the lineup was first released with a lefty on the mound. Gabby also sat out on Wednesday, which of course is something that a lot of people were freaking out about when the D-backs lost that game. But yeah, I figured there was something there. And sure enough, we found out from Torrey Lovello that Gabby Moreno had a root canal and he probably could have started. But Torrey said he made the decision to bring him in off the bench.
We've had some fun scratches this year. We had Lourdes getting his citizenship.
That's true. Yeah, it's a real mystery.
We got Gabby getting a root canal. You never know what's gonna. Show up to the old ballpark. You never know what's gonna happen.
There was also, in spring training, there was a mysterious day where Corbin Carroll was scratched from the lineup, and we found out.
Oh,
after
he got the extension. He was
that was
the
because
physical.
He was getting a physical before signing an extension. So, yeah, apparently lineup scratches we should be
you
paying quite
know.
A bit of attention to. You never
Man,
know.
Man, trade deadline's gonna be fun. Did he get pulled because?
Yeah, because
did he,
get he was traded.
Because he got traded.
Yeah,
or,
was he
or did he have a tummy ache?
Or yeah, did he have to go to the orthodontist? I don't know. We do have some non-dental injury updates. This is pertaining to a few players who. Been out for a while, not necessarily started the year with the team. A couple of these guys we haven't seen at all this season, but Kyle Lewis did start with the team. He played in his third game today with the Reno Aces on a rehab assignment. He is 2-for-13 so far, so the results aren't great, but he did hit a 3-run home run in his first game with the Reno Aces. I know he said on day one of that rehab assignment that it wasn't so much about the on-field results as much as just the process and kind of getting his timing back and his feet under him and whatnot. He's DH'd in two of those games. He did play a little bit of left field in Wednesday's game, I believe. So the D-backs are trying to get him some time in the outfield as well. So we don't really have a timetable on that. I believe the Major League Baseball limit for rehab assignments is 20 days. So it can't last for forever. D-backs will have to make a decision with Kyle Lewis, potentially bring him back up to the big leagues within the next couple of weeks. Carson Kelly has been out with a fractured ulna, of course, has missed the entire season so far. He had 5 at-bats yesterday in an extended spring training game. Torrey Lovello told us before the game he didn't have any updates. He didn't know how those 5 at-bats went, but everything seems to be progressing well there. Don't really have a firm timetable with Carson Kelly yet. I don't believe he has got back behind the plate yet in a game. And I'm sure he'll be sent out on a rehab assignment as well. So still looking at probably a few weeks away for Carson Kelly. Last one is Joe Mantiply, working back from a hamstring issue suffered while warming up in the bullpen a couple of weeks ago. He is now, I believe, eligible to be removed from the injured list. And he threw a 22-pitch bullpen yesterday that Torrey Lovello said went well. Joe Mantiply would be a big addition for this D-backs bullpen. He looked pretty good when he was back for those few games.
Yeah, extended spring training. It is not Major League Baseball.
Yeah, that's fair.
So Carson Kelly's a while off.
Yeah. That's kind of the first step. You get people in games, get them to see live hitting again in extended spring training.
Yeah,
and then
be,
you send them out on
it'll
on
be
a
interesting
assignment.
To see how they manage the roster. We talked about this quite a bit already, but you know, there was a lot of good decisions to be made here. We have it's been a long time since there's been too much talent on the roster.
Yeah.
So you know, silver lining. This is the product of a good baseball team. You know,
yeah.
Kind of like Torrey said with Fletcher.
Yeah, having to make hard decisions is hard, but it is also a sign that your organization is kind of doing what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, we're not that revolving door we were in 2021.
Yeah, and that's the thing with Brandon Pfaadt too, is like you're gonna send him down. But the good news is you have someone, right? You have Zach Davies to step in right now. You have Dre Jameson down there.
Yeah, you're not getting Chris Medlin.
Yeah, right. You're not just giving the ball to some, you know, some guy that is pretty clear just doesn't really have like a long-term future in the big leagues. I'm not gonna attach any names to that comment. But yeah, Dallas Keuchel was not great for this team last year. So there's definitely a lot more depth out there in the rotation. And there are more names in Reno, right? Bryce Jarvis, Slade Ciccone, Blake Walston. Those are guys we haven't even seen in the big leagues yet, and they're right at the doorstep.
Good problem to have.
Good problem to have. Before we go, we want to tell you about the probables here for the rest of the series. The D-backs have two more games, of course, this weekend against the Boston Red Sox. These games probably line up a little bit more favorably than tonight's game. I know Chris Sale had a bad ERA, but he has really been on fire lately. Obviously, Brandon Pfaadt has struggled. This was not, if you were going to pick a game that the D-backs should win in the series, this game was probably not that one. But these two line up fairly well for the D-backs. It's Garrett Whitlock against Zach Davies, making his triumphant return from the oblique strain tomorrow. And then Tanner Houck of the Boston Red Sox goes on Sunday against Merrill Kelly. You still feel like you have a chance to win this series with these pitching matchups.
Yep. You know, you never know what you're going to get out of Davies.
Yeah, that's fair. He had one good start against the Dodgers and then one very bad start against the Dodgers.
You definitely, I'm not going to put it words in anybody's mouth. For me, I feel better about Zach Davies this year than I did last year for sure. Do I have numbers to back that up? Absolutely not. I just kind of feel better about it.
He did add a four-seam fastball,
yeah,
which is kind of
so,
interesting.
So, you know, if you're looking at the numbers and going by feel, you're probably not going to win this game right today. But you still feel pretty good about winning the series, like you said. Zach Davies, he's a veteran. You never know, he could give you that start that he had in Cincinnati last year. He could give you a blow up start. Who knows?
Yeah.
That's the fun of baseball. but you know, you feel good anytime Merrill Kelly's going up. So still feeling good. It's baseball. We play another game tomorrow, baby. Terrible game. Wipe it from the memory and go at it tomorrow.
There you go. Yeah. I think in some ways for fans, it might even be freeing to have a loss like this where you didn't have a 5-0 lead in the sixth inning and then you lose the game 6-5.
Yeah, you know, like
not,
I said earlier,
not
this is,
that happened recently or anything.
this is just baseball. Sometimes you lose a game, man. Sometimes it happens. And today it just kind of felt like it.
Yeah.
So. Go get him tomorrow.
We did have the return of the kiss cam, which I apparently, Danielle, we found out was not. This wasn't the first time it came back. Apparently, it came back at some point last week, maybe even before that. I don't know. But it sort of felt like COVID might have killed the kiss cam
in the long term.
And you could make a case that maybe it should have, but the kiss cam is indeed back. So however people feel about that, I don't know.
It's so cringy.
It is pretty cringy.
It's just so cringy. My favorite kiss cam was, there was a couple years ago back before they killed it. Mm. And this couple, they put up there, and the girl very clearly mouthed, "He's my brother."
Oh, yeah, that's always very awkward.
Yeah, it's just such a painful, like, why?
Because the camera people have to make guesses and assumptions.
It's 2023. And, yes. Let's just do the Simba cam every time. Make every day bark at the park.
Yeah,
do
right.
Do Simba cam with your little dog.
Yeah.
We don't
Simba
need
cam
it.
Is crazy.
It's great, but it's better when it's with dogs.
Oh, yeah.
If
yeah,
you're doing it with absolutely. The kid, like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
I've seen a million. I won't. Give me the dogs.
Simba cam with the dogs. That is
the
best. Undoubtedly.
Just some horrified dog who just has all 4 feet dangling in the air, staring off like I'm about to die right now.
I have no idea what's going on. That's the best. Dogs are the best.
But yeah, so for all you siblings who plan on attending a Diamondback,
make sure you
in your
sit
future,
really far.
Just be
away
warned.
From each other,
be warned. Yeah, you heard it here first. You all, if you need to fill up on some gasoline, or you just need a polar pop to bring you some ice cold refreshment, you should absolutely check out our friends over at Circle K. They had an incredible deal yesterday from 4 to 7 p.m. Like, all of the Circle K's in the valley had 40 cents off their gas, which I don't understand how they made that possible, but I definitely took advantage of it. So we love our friends over at Circle K. If you do go to a Circle K, you also might be lucky enough to see one of your favorite PHNX show hosts invite you inside to go get a polar pop. I had a traumatic experience yesterday, Danielle, when Derek popped up on the screen for the first time. I literally just left the office. We'd said our goodbyes, and then he's on the screen telling me to go inside and get a polar pop. It's an experience. You all should absolutely go check it out. They have iced coffee for just $1.89, 12 packs of beer for $9.99, Red Bull 12 ounce for two for $5.75, Monster 12 ounce for two for $4.50. All sorts of incredible deals to be had over at Circle K, in addition to having what I found to be the cheapest gasoline in the valley. We love our Circle K over here on 7th Street and Roosevelt, which always seems to have the cheapest gas in the neighborhood. So make sure you're not missing out on all of this great stuff. Right now, text PHNX to 31310 to join their SMS subscriber club and get a buy one, get one free offer on 32 ounce Polar Pops. Head over to CircleK.com/store locator to find a Circle K's near you. Finally, we also want to tell you about our friends over at Four Peaks. Four Peaks is the official beer of PHNX, and they also have the official chicken tenders of PHNX on top of that. We have our kilt lifter right here as our friendly little prop. Me and Danielle are entirely too exhausted to be drinking any alcohol at this point in the evening, and we also are about to head home. But on any other night, I would absolutely be digging into this. And you know that if Derek was here, he would have probably drank at least two of them by now. We love our friends over at Four Peaks. Be sure to follow them on social at Four Peaks Brew and at Four Peaks Pub to get all the latest on Arizona's premier craft brewery. They also have a special deal as far as the Arizona Diamondbacks are concerned. They have a Four Peaks, Four Seats little situation happening right now where one lucky winner will get four seats to an upcoming Diamondbacks game. The tickets come with D-Bucks, so you can grab some food, some ice cold Wow Wheat, or a Hop Knot. And you can enter by going to at Four Peaks Brew on Instagram. The link for that is in our bio. Once again, check out at Four Peaks Brew or at Four Peaks Pub to keep up with the latest at Arizona's hometown brewery. Must be 21 or older to drink Four Peaks, and please drink responsibly. Well, this was not a great baseball game, but we've hopefully had some fun with it and got your Memorial Day weekend off to a good start. Thank you to Danielle for being with us and working a 22-hour day at this point on behalf of PHNX. We're pretty much to that level. It's been
spent a lot of time with Damon today.
It's been that's never good.
Oh, yeah.
That's never good. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. No, we love
it. It was a great time.
It was great. Be sure to give us all a follow on Twitter. You can find me at Jesse N. Friedman. Damon is at Damon Dog. Danielle is Abraca Danielle, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. Did I get that right?
Yes.
We also, of course, have our at PHNX underscore DBACS account, but all roads lead to at PHNX underscore underscore sports. That's on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thank you all for hanging with us this evening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we hope to see you back here on Monday. As we have a little Memorial Day edition of the PHNX D-back show, we're going to do a post-game show on Monday rather than our usual 1 p.m. show. The D-backs have an afternoon game on Monday, so things are a little bit different there. But for everyone here, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for being with us. And remember, kids, baseball is so much fun, but it's so much more fun when Raimel Tapia is not at the plate.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.